Shadow of a Century, written by Jean Granger and read by Alana Kerr Collins.
Easter 1916, William Butler Yeats. Chapter 1. Scarlett set the alarm on her new cream Mini Cooper. It emitted a satisfying beep as she crossed the underground parking lot of the Examiner building. She felt a surge of pure joy. For the first time in her whole life, everything was perfect. She looked great, an expensive new wardrobe saw to that, and she knew that she was unrecognizable from the insecure girl she had once been. The elevator doors opened, and she stepped in. The young cub reporter from the sports desk nodded and then stared at the floor. She smiled to herself. She didn't intend to be intimidating, but she was now senior staff, so the kid probably didn't know what to say to her. As the elevator ascended to the 14th floor and the editorial suite, she had to remind herself once more that this was really happening. Her years slaving for Artie on the Yonkers Express were behind her, and here she was, a senior political correspondent from the Examiner, one of the biggest nationals in the country. She glanced at her iPhone. It was odd that Charlie hadn't texted. He usually did, to check that she had gotten up. He was always gone by 5 a.m. on the nights he could stay, but last night he couldn't make it. She understood. In his position, his time was rarely his own. She smiled as she thought of the private messages he was sending her on Facebook last night, while he was supposed to be deep in discussion with the representative of a powerful lobby group for tax reform on a video conference call. Ron Waters was a crashing bore, according to Charlie, and a Republican through and through, so he was never going to vote for Charlie or his party anyway. But he had to be seen to show willingness. He promised he was trying to get her some FaceTime with the guy, though, for another high-profile Examiner piece. The elevator door opened, and the bright, modern, busy newsroom buzzed in front of her. Hundreds of screens flashed images, and lots of reporters, IT people, and administration staff seemed to teem constantly from all directions. She breathed deeply, almost inhaling the atmosphere, and didn't miss Artie and his chain-smoking ways one little bit. She made her way with enthusiasm to the office of Carol Steinberg, the editor-in-chief. Scarlett could hardly believe she was heading into her 8th month of working here. The time had flown by, and her star was definitely on the rise. The piece she had done on the extremist Islamic mullah on the Lower East Side was garnering a lot of attention. Her pieces on Charlie were also getting her a lot of column inches, much to the chagrin of many of the other journalists in the city. Carol's text saying, "Get here ASAP," had come through when she was driving into the office anyway. She was looking forward to the meeting. The urgency of the text suggested some exciting development. Scarlett knew that Carol had a reputation as ballbreaker, that she intimidated almost all of the staff, but Scarlett admired her. She had to be tough to get where she was, and one day Scarlett intended to hold a similar position. Was she imagining it, or did the noise in the office, usually so deafening, suddenly drop to a murmur? The political team were standing together at their corner by the bank of flat-screen plasma TVs. She wasn't imagining it. They had all stopped talking and were staring at her. They must be really ticked off about the mullah story, she thought. She pushed open the opaque glass door of Carol's office and entered the sumptuous surroundings. The TV beside her desk was live-paused, and Scarlett instantly recognized Charlie's handsome features, stilled in mid-sentence.